All right, and we are recording.
All right, good morning, everybody. It is 11 o'clock. Welcome to the Leon County Research and Development Authority Board of Governors meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Introduction of guests. I see that Stephanie's here, but she's probably stepping out of the room for a minute. Any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
We have the schedule of the audit committee presentation. It's proposed that we go ahead and vote on that in the consent agenda before we even have the presentation. So I would move that we remove from the consent agenda the audit committee report.
Okay, so we want to take the audit committee report out of consent and make it a separate line item?
It already is a separate line item. It's number 9.
Okay.
I just didn't think we ought to vote to approve it before we
vote. I'm understanding. Okay, that's right. That's fine. So we'll just take that out of consent. All right. Any other modifications to the agenda? All right. Hearing none.
I'll move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. The agenda is modified. Peggy, did we receive any public comment?
We did not.
Okay. Everybody's had a chance to review the meeting minutes from February 15. Any edits? Hearing none, those stand approved. Consent agenda, is there a motion?
So moved.
Been moved?
Second.
Been seconded. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, item number 8, treasurer's report. Dave.
I'd like to first focus on favorable things in the report, and then we'll come back and hit up on some of the unfavorables. But total revenue is just really looking nice. We budgeted some $352,000, but we're up to $395,000. That's a $43,000 favorable variance, so proud of that. And we look at expenses, we're also very favorable there. We had budgeted for about $569,000. We've only spent $504,000. So a $65,000 favorable variance on that side. I will compliment Michael and Bill and Peggy and Ianey, all who had anything to do with keeping our expenses under good control. Well done, staff. A great job there. We look at the non-operating expenditures that come in, and we've actually then ended up with net income, well, let's call it net loss, really, of $259,000, but we had budgeted it would be $341,000 loss through the first 5 months. So our condition is favorable to the extent that it's better than budgeted. The loss isn't as bad as we had anticipated. We should be receiving from the OEV some $268,000 coming up shortly. That's the last part of the MOU that we had with the Danfoss property. So that should be coming in. They will have their formal opening in May. They will be bringing in their family ownership, their international board of directors, and they'll be making a big deal out of it. We also have made the last elevator improvement of $22,000. That was out of a $218,000 contract. So all that's favorable. We've got that behind us now. So those are some of the favorable things we'll talk about. Some of the unfavorable, though, we get through, and it's mostly in the cash flow. If you look over on the combined cash flow report, and you look at the LCRDA parts of it. You go back to December, we had $1,573,000 in cash. In January, we had $1,525,000. In February, $1,419,000. So cash continues to burn rapidly. We, as I said, we'll have some things coming in from OEV and all that'll help, but our cash and investments combined are down to $1,420,000 roughly. Those are the highlights of the report. I will talk a little bit about the fact that we were up to $3.8 million on our loan from FSU. That was a $4 million issue that they provided to us, line of credit. So we're up to $3.841 million. Mr. Chairman, those are the highlights of the finances. I would motion that the report be approved.
I'll move it.
Dave, thank you for your report on this. Okay, so it's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Been seconded. Any discussion?
Yeah. No questions.
Dave, the last report you gave, you said that you could look ahead for us a little bit. 2 months further down the road, could you kind of go back and repeat that and make any modifications that you suggest?
Yeah, I would say to you that one who is even better prepared and more into the numbers than I would be Michael, and let's defer that question over to Michael.
What was the specific question, Ray?
Well, at our last meeting, I think the question came up about Dave, what do you see happening over the next 6 months? And 2 months later, he was asking that same question.
Yeah, and I think if I recall correctly, I think at the time I said that I thought we'd end the fiscal year with about $1.5 million in cash. I still believe we're going to end this fiscal year with $1.4 million, $1.5 million in cash. And then, you know, really, the big drivers of that become how long we have the lab in particular, because as David mentioned, we do consume cash on a monthly basis at present. That is now accelerated. We'll get into that a little bit when we start talking about the new lab, but we have taken control of the lab by and large. And so the costs associated with operating that, insurance, utilities by themselves are probably $30,000 a month, plus all the other things we're gonna just have to maintain, the maintenance expenses just to the HVAC systems and to maintain, protect the warranties on products. We're gonna start spending money janitorial. So, but I still feel pretty strong about that we're gonna have close to $1.5 million at the September 30th, at the end of our fiscal year.
Our demand for cash, though, will pick up pretty significantly now that we have the lab.
What is our staffing requirement every month?
What are we spending in labor? 30? Is that right? About 30 grand?
Payroll expenses, I don't know about for the month, but for the 5 months, they are $213,000 versus a budget of $237,000.
So that would suggest a little closer to 40, probably with benefits and everything else that's loaded in there.
Yeah, and that's $23,000 better than planned.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Dave, thank you for your report. So it's been moved, it's been seconded, it's been discussed. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? That passes unanimously. Very good. Item number...
Can I make a comment?
Oh, please.
I apologize. Everybody, if you noticed on that first page that David went through, it looks a little different than what we've done in the past. And the reason for that, if you recall, when we presented our budgets at the beginning of the fiscal year, we had a budget for the LCRDA, we had a budget for NFIL, and then we shared a consolidated. So now, since we now have control of the lab and the lab is incurring actual expenses, we wanted to start the presentation so you could still see compared to the original budgets that we had broken into pieces. That's why it's a little more complex, but the consolidated on the far right is still going to be representative of the combined entities.
Okay.
Sorry.
Very good. Okay, item number 9, audited financial statements. Dave and Ray.
I am proposing that our chair of the committee, Ray Bybee, make that report.
Thank you, Andrew. On the 19th of March, the committee met, and Allison Harrell from Thomas Howell Ferguson gave us a presentation of the results of their audit over the past year. The good news, just like Dave said, I'm going to hit the highlights, and it was good news. We came back basically an unmodified opinion. We found no problems necessary to be addressed. No irregularities, no recommendations on internal control changes. And basically, it was an extremely clean and positive audit. So therefore, based on Dave's suggestion, we removed the report from the consent calendar, I would move that the committee approved the audit and its report, and I would ask the board to do the same.
Very good.
As your treasurer, I'm very, very delighted to have a good audit. So, to again, to the staff, to the team who put it together, Town Core, we'll thank everybody for making us very proud of our audits.
What questions do we have for Ray and for Dave on the audit, and for Michael? None? All right, so we need to vote then to approve the audit report or acceptance of the audit report, is that?
Correct. Yeah.
Is it to approve the audit or to approve acceptance of the audit?
To accept the committee's recommendation.
Okay, so and are you making that motion?
So moved.
Okay, Ray has moved to accept.
I'll second.
Rick is seconded, so any discussion?
Just real quick.
Yes.
I think most of us have managed nonprofits at some point, and you know, whenever this comes up in an agenda item, we approve it and move on. But I just want to point out, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into these audits, you know, both in terms of the auditor, but as well as the nonprofit that complies with what the audit needs. And the work plan on deliverables is very extensive. So just wanted to emphasize congratulations on staff for working really hard to make this as clean as it is. It's a lot of work that goes into this, and then we spend 5 minutes, approve it, and move on. But a tremendous amount of work is done to get to this point. So just congratulations to our staff for making this happen.
And TalCorp supports that effort, too. Christy Wicker works on that on behalf of TalCorp.
Great. Excellent.
This might be the 10th, maybe the 11th or the 12th year that we've had an absolutely clean audit after some disaster. But we really have done a yeoman's work of making everything work properly.
Appreciate the effort of the entire team on that. Job well done. Okay, so it's been moved and it's been seconded. All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? That passes unanimously. All right, item number 10, the bylaw amendment. Michael.
I'm going to defer to Peggy to give us a rundown. She's the parliamentarian. She's our lawyer.
All right, this is in reference to Article 1 of the bylaw, subsection 1.5, which is sets out the membership of our Board of Governors. So Leon County, as y'all know, appoints 6 at-large members to our board. The resolutions that we're talking about in this, they pertain to the composition numbers of the Board of Governors and the county's nominating committee. So the Leon County Nominating Committee, which appoints the at-large Board of Governor members, is chaired by the county administrator, and then is comprised of the LCRDA chair, the director of OEV, the director of the Mag Lab, and the dean of the FAMU-FSU College of Engineering. So the new resolution that we're scratching out the old and putting in the new one, Commissioner Meyer, correct me if I've got this wrong, Resolution 2219 allows OEV, the Mag Lab, and the College of Engineering to have a designee to serve on the committee. It doesn't have to be the director of OEV, the director of the Mag Lab, or the dean. The previous resolution, 1619, did not allow designees for those 3 people. So there's no change to the membership or the governance of our Board of Governors. It's just an amendment to delete Resolution 1619 from the reference in our bylaws and then substitute Resolution 2210.
So they changed their rules. We're just incorporating and acknowledging it.
And we're because they're the ones who comprised, you know, set our board, nominate and appoint the members.
I'll move to accept that.
All right, it's been moved. It's been seconded. Any discussion of that? All right, all in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Passes unanimously. Item number 11, IPTLH NFIL. Michael.
Okay. I'm going to buzz through a bunch of things. Please do not hesitate to stop me or ask questions. Just quick updates. We signed documents indicating substantial completion of the lab effective March 25th. So last week, we believe our architects also agreed. We documented the fact that the building is ready for us to be used by and large in many ways. That does not mean it's complete or perfect. There are a bunch of things on a punch list that they are working on as we speak. We have, just a reminder, change orders. We spent $237,000 on change orders, which I believe is the end of all the change orders. On a $23 million project, everybody seems to represent to us that that's really a very good fact, a good result of 1% of the product. We still owe Culpepper $550,000. That's our, frankly, our lever to make sure that they punch out all the other items on the list. We also anticipate spending another $50,000 to $75,000 on items that we plan to do to the building outside of the Culpepper contract. It won't have to be subject to fees and their upcharges, but there's some fixing some cracks in floors and just a variety of things. And as you guys are well aware, on a building this scale, there's no $500 items. They're all still, fixing those, filling the floor cracks is a $40,000 thing with some kind of fancy material so you don't have any kind of hazardous waste issues. Just a reminder, the appropriation we got from the state through TCC was $1.5 million for the fiscal year. We have received $926,000 of that so far to date. We've spent about $300,000. We're about to spend another $80,000 on different things. We will ultimately spend all $1.5 million. We don't get all of that money until the end of end of June, the state's fiscal year. And so we will be spending some of that July, August, September, this period this year. As far as the EDA is concerned, we did have to submit, according to our documents with them, the space license agreement, what we would mostly refer to normally as a lease. That's how our members of the lab are going to utilize space, through a license agreement. It is under review as we speak. My hope is that sometime in the next week or two or three, we call them, text them, email them weekly to nudge this along, that we will have our feedback on that.
So they're approving the form of the lease license.
Correct.
Okay. And the amount of the lease.
We sent them rates as well as the form of the lease as required under the EDA documents.
Okay.
The next step with the EDA is, I anticipate, hopefully by the end of this month, is to request our closeout funding, which is another $1.2 million that we will use to pay Culpepper's $550,000 outstanding and that we're due once the project is complete. And we can do that at substantial completion. So we're starting to prepare that request package right now. I also mentioned earlier that because we took over the building, that we have insurance utilities costs. As I mentioned, the two of those are probably $30,000 a month that have now started. They're on our nickel. As far as member profiles and prospects, we spent a lot of time with some FSU representatives. We have three that are from this building right now that we think are going to be coming over to the new lab as soon as we can take new members. We've also got a new prospect that has no history with us that is interested in some space. Our goal is to really have somebody maybe in a chem lab, somebody in a bio lab, somebody in just an office, somebody in a flex lab, to have people around the building. As you guys are aware, we want people flushing toilets, plugging things in, turning light switches to make sure everything works. We have a one-year warranty on the building, and we need to be testing all of the systems along the way to make sure we get preserve those things and figure out what's not working. There will inevitably be things that aren't working. I'll take a breath there on the lab if there's any questions.
Everyone? All right. If nothing else on item 11, let's go into item 12, LCRDA. Michael.
Me again. Okay. We, as you guys were all aware, we executed an MOU with the two universities back on December 8th. The expiration date of elements in that was April 30. We are not going to meet those dates, so we got an extension with the general counsel of both universities to extend that to April 15th.
August 15th.
August 15th, my apologies, here says that. We're working with FSU on the build to scale. If you guys recall, that $750,000 grant was intended to match the salaries of RDA folks with folks and personnel that would run, manage, and lead the laboratory. So we're working, certain positions have actually already been posted by FSU to help coordinate and fill those jobs to take advantage of that grant at the RDA level. FSU, that's one of the real enticements for FSU to the lab project, frankly, is that there is this $750,000 over 3 years of funding to help mitigate some of the costs that it will take to run that lab. And the expected loss, no matter who runs the lab, is going to occur for a number of years. We're cleaning up the map. If you guys recall, we've got this map. I've shared this already with the executive committee, but the map that you guys have all seen for, I think, 35 years had certain parcels defined and property lines, if you will, some of which it turns out don't exist from any kind of legal perspective. So I'm having lots surveyed. We're having the ponds surveyed. We've engaged folks to make sure we can define the lots. If you recall, in the upper west, northwest corner, FAMU's supposed to get one lot, FSU's supposed to get one lot. Well, as far as the world, DEP, Leon County, everywhere, trustees, that's one parcel. It's never been subdivided, so now I've got to have it subdivided. Anyway.
Sell it to both of them.
Yeah. So anyway, it's in the works. I'm hoping within 30 to 45 days that all that legal stuff is done, which we have to have before we move forward with DEP to do the assignment of interest in those spots. But they're all underway. The other thing we cleaned up was a transaction from the mid-90s where, if you guys recall, where HPMI and AME building are over here and the Fitz building, where it's got that big towers. Those were traded. There was a horse trade involved, FSU and the RDA. That never made its way through DEP or TIF or anybody. And so we have repapered that one and actually recorded it, what, Tuesday, Peggy? So that should be reflected in everybody's records, hopefully in the next week or so. Again, stuff that we had to do to move through this process, and frankly, we just hadn't been an issue up until we started to move through the exercise. You guys, I think we included with your package would have been the summary level results of the phase one on Eisenhower. The net result is that the survey revealed no further action required in terms of to do a phase two. You also may recall that we got a federal grant to do the phase one. If we wanted to do a phase two and it wasn't required by that federal, we can't apply for a federal grant to do that since the results of the conclusions of the phase one said don't do anything else. Now, whatever we decide to do with that property may be impacted by what somebody wants, but that's where we are. We do have a clean phase one on Eisenhower. Dave stole my thunder on the OED funding, which I'm hoping for anytime soon, $268,000. Last thing I had on this section was the leasing update on a couple of buildings, and just to bring everybody up to speed, what we're doing with tenants that are in various spaces in not only Collins, but Morgan and Knight, for that matter, is people, a number of our folks have leases expiring, say, this month. We are well aware, we've communicated to all of our tenants at this point about where we're headed with Florida State and with FAMU regarding the properties. I'm extending folks' leases to July 31st in most cases, with then a 30-day, two-way cancellation provision. Wide out in the open, so that gives them flexibility at the end of that term, July 31st, they can stay, they can give us notice 30 days that they're splitting, we can give them notice. Or our assignee, if that's FAMU or FSU. I don't know how quickly everyone's going to move, so it gives everybody the flexibility to move tenants around as they want. I've also offered to the two or three tenants in this building that are gonna relocate to the lab, that if they're able to relocate to the lab prior to the July 31st, that I will release them from their obligations under the lease inside this building. So,
cool.
And that's the update. And we've got some folks in Morgan under the same scenario. And Knight Energy, I'm working with those guys who want to stay another year. So I'm agreeing on their behalf to go to FAMU and see if they're receptive to that as well.
So, Michael, thank you. Excellent reports. Michael and I had a Zoom call earlier this week with DEP, with FAMU, FSU, LCRDA, and DEP. Can you give us an update and we'll maybe play-by-play and color on this. It was an important step along the way as we engage the DEP process for what's in front of us.
Yep. The premise of the call, we gathered everybody together, was just to make sure that folks, myself included, Melissa, our counsel, David Self from FAMU, wanted to make sure we understood the process of assigning the leasehold interests that we have. Some of us hadn't obviously been through that process. So Brad Richardson walked us through that process. There are some things that I think we were unaware of that have to be figured out. They've got to research a couple of things, one of which is the ground leases, frankly, with Danfoss and with Avalanche, because they're for-profit organizations. So it's a little different than in the past. We've assigned things to FSU and to FAMU. They're going to do some homework on that. We also asked them about doing this in pieces. I think we all envision this one day, we sign a bunch of documents and it's all done. The reality is this may happen, Collins building may happen sooner than later. I've got good legals on it, FAMU's ready to move, those kind of things. We then may do Johnson and Morgan, if you recall. They're connected to Sligo, so that this may go in pieces. The lab may be at the tail end. There's also an element with the roads and ponds. I'm still waiting on surveys, so we may have a series of tranches to get this project to the end. We're also trying, frankly, to make sure we can preserve some of the what's called the declarant rights associated with the park, that the park has. And if we sign everything out, all those rights may be forfeited, so we're trying to make sure we at least have done a thorough analysis on how do we protect or preserve those for the respective parties.
A summary comment on that. There is a tremendous amount of complexity that goes with each of the potential tranches. It's going to take time. It will be a methodical process. There's a, as Michael pointed out, there is homework that DEP has to do in order to figure out the most efficient way for us to get from where we are to where we need to be. And it's not going to be an inordinate amount of time, but it will require some time. So
it will be a lot of activity with limited progress to show at certain times for all that activity.
That's it. Any questions on that? Any questions on anything regarding item 12?
Actually, I do have a question.
Please.
Do you have the sense that you're getting the attention you need from DEP?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. I mean, we've thrown them a curveball, frankly, yesterday with a couple of things that they got to do some homework on. The process is what they do. This is exactly what they do. But the wrinkles of the for-profit, I think.
It was an hour-long Zoom call. And to use Michael's turn of phrase, there were a few things on the call that we probably overcooked, but it no doubt required a lot of coordination with multiple people. We had, what, 8, 9 people on the call?
We had 2 folks from FAMU on the call. I mean, right. The objective really was to make sure everybody understood and heard that this process, just because we want to do it and all the parties are ready to do it, that doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. There's things to be done.
It is not as simple as a few people getting together and signing a lease. That's not how it works. Now, in its basic construct, that's the perfect scenario. It's just none of this will be perfect. There's steps along the way. And I think having DEP focused on what we need to do, the issues, as Michael points about, the declarant rights, what happens at the university level versus what happens at the governor cabinet level. There are some issues that sit inside of that conversation. There's homework, and so DEP has been tasked with about, I don't know, half a dozen or a dozen different items that they need to address, and then come back to us, give us direction based on what their process needs to be, and then we will continue to step forward. Collins, Morgan, Johnson may be on the front end, and to Michael's point, whether it's the lab or the roads and stormwater ponds, those things will last to the end. And then once all that's figured out, and again, per some of our recent conversations, the runway in front of us to figure out distribution of assets has to play out. And they even brought up the question of where does the RDA go from here? And we said, we're not at that point. We haven't answered that question. We need to get through all of these steps. And they completely appreciated the weight of that conversation.
So I've done a lot of work with the Division of State Lands over many years. I'm certainly not volunteering, but things can get stuck, and it is, at the end of the day, it is still a political process. You gotta get to the government cabinet. So don't allow yourself to get stuck. You know, if it looks like it's stuck unnecessarily, we need to not necessarily do something political, but just
call it
keep
the
it moving. Mm-hmm. Just keep it moving.
Well, and what I would like is for you to have a conversation with Michael outside of this, and for y'all to talk about the that one particular issue of moving the lease versus the assets of the lease. And you will appreciate the wording.
Okay. We'll talk about that.
It's fine. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's good education.
I got a question on the roads and the ponds. Are those going to be conveyed, or are they going to be common area? What percentage?
Both. Remember, the roads, the city has an easement for all the roads, okay? And so they maintain the roads. However, those roads are part of the park, and so they have to be conveyed on somebody's lease, right? But what we're trying to do, if you guys recall, there's 207.84 acres.
Plus or minus.
Plus or minus. I'm trying to make sure all of that 207.84 is been conveyed, and there's not some empty space that we miss. That's why these surveys are so critical. That's why the roads and the ponds, which were probably perhaps surveyed at some point, but it, nobody's been able to locate the surveys. And so to convey that to, through this process, remember, they were just the interior part of this 207.84 parcel at one time, right? So now since I'm going to convey them, I have to have good legal descriptions for those things. So that's what we're working on. But and then to the common areas that EPIC, one of the things we pushed on recently and had a meeting this last week, is I want FSU and FAM to work out their CAM structure, because I don't want to get 3 months down the road from now, we've got a bunch of stuff teed up, and then there's an argument, frankly, about CAM as an unresolved issue. We can resolve that today without DEP or the cabinet or anybody else's involvement. Really, FSU and FAMU can figure that out today, and it can be off of our list, or my list, if you will, of things that has to happen before we get to the end. I just don't like delaying things to the end. I'm trying to do all of the clean, simple things that we can do with the fewest parties first, and let's get the messiest stuff. That's all we're left with.
Michael, don't want some of the private companies have some interest in stuff like the ponds, too?
Yes, but they don't get to set the CAM charges or anything.
Okay.
They're piggybacked onto whatever. The way it's historically worked, there's a, everybody's got a kind of most favored nation status, right? So we calculate CAM. I won't bore you with the peculiar structure and calculation that has evolved over whatever 40 years. And then we just tell everybody what they owe, and the element of most favored nation, of course, whatever we bill FSU has to be the same as we bill FAM, has to be the same as we bill Danfoss, and has to be the same as we bill Avalanche. That's just the way those documents have been written. And that's been the practice.
That's good.
And it's on developed acres, which is weird, as opposed to just acreage. Right. So nobody pays for empty lots. We just eat that.
Very good. Any other questions for Michael? All right. Hearing none, item number 13, my report. It occurred to me after the exec meeting, Michael and I had a conversation about this. You know, time flies when you're having fun. We're getting close to the end of Michael's contract date, and I think we need to extend it so that we make sure that we have certainty both from his perspective and from our perspective. My recommendation is that we extend it from the current expiration of June 30 out to the end of the year, and then put a rolling 90-day mutual termination on it after that. Okay, it's been moved.
Second.
It's been seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? That's unanimous. Okay. Any other, any new business?
Mr. Chair, I'd propose that we schedule our June 6th board meeting at the laboratory instead of this building.
So long as that space is available and operational, I'd love to do that.
It's certainly open. It is not booked. but we certainly can plan on that. If something has to change, we'll deal with it.
Sure.
I think it'd be nice to get everybody over there. And we can test the AC in the room and see if we're comfortable or not.
We'll probably do it in the boardroom.
Yeah, I think we can do it for you.
Perfect. Cool. Any other new business? Hearing none, we stand adjourned.
Thank you.